A communications disruption can mean only one thing: invasion.
You must contact me.
Hello there, loyal listeners of CO Nibbles Babble Bubble, the great tongue twister of all podcasts. Today's a very special episode. Like every episode is a very special episode, but this one is especially special. Got my good friend Chris here online with us. Chris, otherwise known as the very famous Skype profile live.cib.d05d8e29d18ac991. Chris, how you doing? How'd you come up with that awesome droid name for yourself?
I don't know how to change it. I keep trying to change it, and Skype won't let me. I go to edit profile, and I can edit everything else, except my Skype name is, like, grayed out, and it's that. So now anytime somebody wants to talk to me on Skype, they have to enter that in.
Oh, well, I love it. You know, just, like, a big part of the show is that you have to work to find the show while searching on Apple Podcasts, because people looked up CO Bubbles Babble Bibble and CO Babbles Bibble Bubble all
Morons.
Over the place. So just like someone has to work to talk to you, you know, and find all your correct string of numbers and letters. At least it's all like letters within, you know, our alphabet. I'm surprised there's not a couple of like East Asian characters thrown in there too.
I don't understand. I mean, I had no problem finding your podcast. I literally typed in CO, S-I-O, and then it just came up the first time I looked it up, because there's no other podcast
world
named after CO Bibble from the Star Wars prequels. Like, how, if you can't find this podcast, then
you really don't deserve to listen to it.
Ask your grandmother for help or something, because she's probably more competent than you at using her iPhone.
That's great. Yeah, so a little background history. I met Chris at Star Wars Celebration Chicago in April. That was a lot of fun. Our first conversation was on our floor. Our second conversation was at that pizza shop across from the convention center. I don't even remember what we talked about, but I remember laughing a lot.
Nonsense. Just complete nonsense.
Oh, no. We were talking about your script.
Oh, yeah. What we were working on at the time.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, so Chris is a really cool guy, and we're really lucky to have him on. He's a high-demand persona.
Yes. I'm so in demand. I had to clear out my schedule for this. It was very difficult. So many people want me to be guests on their podcast, but I say no. I only do the best, and that is CO Bibble's Babble Bubble.
Yes.
And that's it. Nowhere else will you
find
you.
Very discriminatory with who's going to get on there, you know?
Yeah.
I know Entertainment Weekly tried to get you on to talk Star Wars, be like, no, that's below me.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, fuck you, Anthony Bresnikan. He doesn't work there anymore, but the joke still stands.
I thought he was hired back.
No, what?
Because he was like fired a couple months ago, or let go, or they cut everything, but I think they brought him back.
And he came back after he went to Vanity Fair? I would have been like, fuck you, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I don't know. There's other people closer.
You're usually wrong, so I would imagine that there was probably a mistake made somewhere along the way.
Yeah, most likely. So we'll go ahead and dive right into it. So, Chris, a big thing that I do on the show, if I have guests, is either, we're not talking about something particular, is say, what was sort of your first experience with the Star Wars prequels? So do you remember the first time you saw one was a prequel, your very first Star Wars film? Had you already seen the original trilogy?
My first Star Wars film was the first time I saw Star Wars was, I remember very vividly, my dad was watching Attack of the Clones at home, and it was I went downstairs into like his lair because I needed something, and it was like the Geonosian factory sequence in Attack of the Clones, and I was just immediately riveted by what is probably the worst sequence in all of Star Wars. I started with like the absolute like lowest of the low point in Star Wars, and still was just immediately like enthralled by it and had nowhere to go but up. And then I immediately like watched all of them because my parents had the original trilogy and the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith wasn't in theaters yet. Mm-hmm. And so then Revenge of the Sith became my first movie theater Star Wars that I saw, because I was like 9 or 10 when it came out in the movie theaters. It was very traumatizing for 9, 10-year-old me to watch Anakin get burned alive and all the kids murdered.
I was kind of, I guess I would have been, I would have just turned 11 when it came out. And I burned up Anakin, like I had nightmares about burned up Anakin. That was way, like his face was all creepy looking. And I've always had trouble with kind of, or at least growing up with like non-human things or non-normal looking things, like any sort of body dysmorphia. I'm better with it now if people want to put tattoos or something. But any of that type of stuff, anything that's weird looking, I was like, oh God, this isn't normal. And oh yeah, I had nightmares about burned up Anakin for like a week.
Yeah, I remember my parents had seen it. They went and saw it first. And then they came to me and they were like, just so you know, the new Star Wars is like really scary and like a lot of people die and it's really sad. And like, are you sure you're okay with watching it? And I was like, bitch, please. Of course I'm okay with watching it. It's fine. Like, I want to go see the new Star Wars. And then I went and saw it and I cried for like an hour afterward. It was just awful.
Oh, it's tough. Order 66 still gets me, you know? It's... The score is great. You see some great folks get gunned down unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Except Ki-Adi Mundi, because he's kind of an asshat. So,
Everybody says that, but, like, I don't understand why. Like, what did he do? He doesn't... He has, like, 10 lines in the entire trilogy. Like, what did he do wrong?
10 lines too many. Like, no one asks his opinion, and he just bursts himself in there. It's like, oh, what do you think about that, Key? That line is never said. He just... Homeboy slides in there, throws in his 10 cents... Why are you here, you old-looking moon man?
Yeah, here, that's one of my, like, biggest pet peeves about the prequels, actually, is that, aside from the fact that they're not very good, is that I love them dearly. I love them so much, to be clear. But is that the council meeting is only three people, the same three people always talk. There's 12 people on the council, and only... Mace, Yoda, and Penis Head ever talk. Which, nobody else jumps in.
Like, I get Mace and Yoda getting the word, Sam Jackson's gotta get in there, and then Yoda's a big guy. But yeah, you could cut Penis Head's, you know, dialogue up and just give it to other people. It doesn't need to be... Why, I mean, why do they pick... Is he like George Lucas's friend or something?
Maybe.
Is he like the Greg Grunberg to...
George, imagine being known as George Lucas's Greg Grunberg.
Oh man, probably this guy is probably some famous like Shakespearean actor or something, just dragging through the mud. Like, oh yeah, you're poorly qualified.
He's like, I went to Juilliard, and this is where I ended up. This is my life. I don't know. I just, there's that great Robot Chicken parody I always think of where. The Yoda says something about like how the council's made a decision, and Yarl Poof's like, oh, so it's a council now? It's not just the two of you? Dog face, did you know that now it was a council?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love the Yarl Poof stuff. There was some guy on Twitter bashing Yarl Poof the other day, and I went to war with him, and the only person who backed me up was a Twitter user who's picture was Yarl Poof and his handle was at Yarl Poof. So I like to imagine Homeboy himself was out there helping me try to defend him.
He's another one who's oddly phallic shaped, but it's mostly his neck.
Yeah, it'd be a very strangely shaped penis.
Yeah,
it'd be very long and skinny, but
he and Ki-Adi Mundi are both like deformed penises. Like George Lucas went to the art department and was like, what do you want your aliens to look like, George? And he was like, deformed penises. Little ones, big ones, thin ones, fat ones, like just everything. And that's how we ended up with half of the aliens that we have in the prequels.
I think he just found a bunch of who had never seen what genitalias looked like before and just said, try to draw it and let's make characters out of it.
You're so bad. You said we wouldn't talk. You said we wouldn't talk about.
That's it. That's the only word.
Good. I don't want to hear about it. I'm traumatized enough. About the prequel trilogy. Fuck the sequel trilogy. It may be my favorite trilogy, but fuck the sequel trilogy.
Especially the dialogue around it. We're more fun here.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's more fun when we all just universally agree that it's like the prequels are ridiculous.
Oh, it's just a ridiculous fun ride.
Absolutely. Like, there's no bad discourse about the prequels, because there's either people who just like grew up with it and love it despite its flaws, or people who just don't participate because they don't like it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. There's no, I've never seen bad discourse in modern times around the prequels. Obviously, obviously at the time the prequel discourse was unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, there was no Twitter then. So
yeah, we were kids then, so we were enjoying it. You know, we weren't seeing the like 30-year-old people bitching about the prequels on forums. Stuff. We were just like, wasn't that awesome? I'm gonna run around the playground and swing a stick around. And
I want to, yeah, I want to be Jar Jar Binks. Who wanted to be Plo Koon?
Dave Filoni wanted to be Plo Koon.
Yeah, but Dave Filoni is kind of terrible. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. It's not that he's terrible. He's like, as a person, I'm sure he's very nice, but I just think that The Clone Wars is a terrible show. And it just, like, they just try to do too much with it. And it messes up the mythology of the prequels in so many ways to me. Like, making it so the clone troopers were not actually bad and they all just had chips in their head that made them go crazy and kill the Jedi when Order 66 was executed is literally the dumbest thing in Star Wars.
I get that. Yeah, I was really slow to get on to seeing the Clone War. I never I didn't watch the movie until... Oh, gosh. Maybe 2014, 2015. It took me... I never watched the show live when it was airing or anything. I got around to it, and I enjoyed some things because it's fun, but I get the argument for sure. Because, like, that's what I was afraid of running into it. And I remember seeing the first episodes at times, like, this isn't really what I want to have happening here. But
I enjoyed them. It's weird. And then... Yeah, I'm not going to shit on... This is not going to become a shit on Dave Filoni podcast. I won't do it. I won't be that guy. But he is... I do find that everything surrounding... All the ancillary material around the prequel trilogy makes the prequel trilogy look like high art. It's basically how I feel about it.
I get that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Everybody, books were all weird, too. It was...
Yeah. Everybody says the ancillary material makes the prequels better, but I just totally disagree. Like, oh god, what was the one where, like, Anakin found Padme with that other dude and, like, started beating him up like he was fighting over his middle school girlfriend on the playground?
Rush Clovis.
Yeah, fuck Rush Clovis, and fuck Anakin. Like, what a stupid plot line.
Rush Clovis is my homeboy, man.
What? Oh, okay, now you have to explain this to me.
No, when I was watching that arc, I was thinking, wow, you know, Rush and Padme are pretty close. What if he's the real dad?
He's the real chosen one?
He's the real... Well, I don't know if he's the chosen one, but he's the one who did the dirty, you know? Anakin...
His seed produced Luke and Leia. He must be, like, super Force-sensitive. He or Padme, but we never got an indication one way or the other about them.
Yeah, but he was a really good banker. I mean, he was a numbers guy. Maybe he put all his Force abilities into a...
Or maybe their sex was just, like, so rowdy, it just produced these, like, ultra-powerful babies.
I could. You know, everyone, like, thinks Anakin would be, like, rough or, like, a good, you know...
Like sand.
Yeah. Rough, dry Force, he gets everywhere.
Yeah.
But I would imagine... I could see him being relatively vanilla, actually.
Probably. He's never even, like, talked to a girl before Attack of the Clones, and he gets married, like, 5 days later. Like, can you imagine, like, never having, like, even talked to, like, a potential person? You've never gone on a date, and all of a sudden you're married, and your partner has, like, dating experience, and you don't. And it's like, oh, I'm supposed to do the sex now, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, Padme absolutely was doing all the work.
Absolutely. Like,
no, and the problem is, like, he goes away all the time because the Clone War is going on, so it's not like he can be, like, at home for an uninterrupted month and really get to learn the anatomy. You know, it's a big part of it. You have to get to know your partner's bodies and what they like and what they don't like, and so I don't know if he ever had the opportunity to figure that out. Meanwhile, Rush Clovis is there.
Right.
You know. I like to imagine the real thing that happened, rather than Anakin beating him up, is that he has a side conversation. Or maybe he still beats him up, and he talks to Padme. Padme, how could you? And Padme's like, I was under the impression this was an open relationship. We never had that discussion.
What is that? All I can think of now is that moment in, like, the 2D Clone War cartoon where they're like alone with C-3PO, and C-3PO like derobes and he's very sexy.
And
I wonder if maybe he was keeping Padme company while Anakin was away too.
Maybe he was, and yeah, because he was protocol droid, so and I mean fluent in over what 6 million languages. One of them had to be
exactly. I hate you. You beat me. I was about to make the same joke, and you beat me to it, and I'm gonna resent you forever.
Oh no! Please don't.
I already resent you. I said that. I was talking about you last night with our mutual friends Claire and Charlie, and we were talking about Celebration, and you came up. I don't remember why. And I said I hate Reed. And they were like, why? What did Reed ever do? I'm like, he's literally the funniest person on the planet, and I hate it because I'm usually the funny one. And whenever we're in the same room, I'm no longer the funniest person in the room, and it makes me miserable. So I can't hang out with Reed anymore.
Oh, you flatter me. You flatter me. But no, I think it's a good compliment, a good complimentary banner, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, we do well. Yeah. And everybody else is trying to get a word in edgewise, and the two of us are just fucking blabbing relentlessly.
It's just a giant block. We just sort of make these walls around people, and they try to throw something in. And maybe if Nikki's around, he'll come up too, because he'll throw in his comments here and there. And then I feel sorry though for our beloved friend across the pond though. Well, Charlie, maybe he gets blocked.
He was complaining last night that Claire and I don't let him talk.
Oh man, that is.
This is so. Yeah, no, we're just really rude and obnoxious to everybody. Listeners, is the moral of the story.
Mm-hmm. just to drop to listeners to say, because I always like to plug these guys. So Claire, Charlie, and Nikki—they're the host of Imperial Senate podcast. They're cool. They're like the grown-ups. CO Bibble Babble Bubble is like the crazy teen.
I don't know if I would call them grown up.
True, I guess.
they talk every week. They have a segment called "What Made You Moist This Week."
That's true. If they are a grown up, they're like the uncle.
Yeah, they're like the pervy uncle.
The pervy uncle of Star Wars podcast.
Please don't ever let them hear that.
Oh no! And CO Bibble's Babble Bubble therefore is like the thinking it's edgy teen who laughs at boob jokes, you know, and spells 8005S on a calculator.
And makes jokes about Padme and 3PO fucking.
Yeah, pretty much. That's sort of the peak maturity level that this show's ever going to go.
We've gotten really meta with this discussion. I kind of like it.
Oh, you know, the thing about Star Wars is it can't just stop with the films. And so, I mean, the community itself is just as much of the, you know, the Star Wars zeitgeist.
Yeah, no, I like that we're analyzing the dichotomy between different, like, Star Wars podcasts now. That's fun. Is there any podcast that you hate that we should shit on?
You know, not really. I mean, I guess I could just jump on with everybody not liking RFR, but I feel like that's kind of a tired news story.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you just shouldn't be. Don't be an asshole. And then,
yeah, that's pretty much the rule.
That's the moral of the story.
Unless you're a funny one like us, and you know, we're apologetic with it. We're self-aware.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And we're assholes to each other mostly, so it's
fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
And to the Star Wars prequels.
And to the Star Wars prequels. Which this is a prequels appreciation podcast, so, you know, it's self-loving. Or self-loathing.
It's self-loving. So please, Reed, please no self-loving on the podcast while I'm here. It's very inappropriate.
No, that's what C-3PO is for.
Exactly.
Well, I do want to bring up a point you mentioned earlier, and just to go back to the films themselves.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the films in like 5 minutes.
At least. It's like 10 now. But so you mentioned the Geonosis droid manufacturing scene, right? And you said that, and I had a realization, because I realized this at the time it came out. But there was at least like two other movies that came out between like 1998 and 2004. I just throw those dates out because I don't know the exact years that had that exact same scene. And I don't know if you've seen them, but 101 Dalmatians 2.
I haven't seen that movie in since I was a child, so I don't recall.
But they have a scene where there's like long conveyor belts going through a factory, and like the dogs get caught, and one of the dogs is caught in like a big jar, just like Padme does, and like another dog has to save the day, like sleep. It's like cut for cut, nearly the exact same.
I have to watch this. This is amazing.
And then the other one I'm going to throw in there is Chicken Run.
Another one I have not seen since it came out.
See, there you got to revisit these. Because I remember at the time thinking, like, I have seen this scene so many times. But, like, Chicken Run, they go to, like, the chicken pot pie manufacturing machine. And it's the two chickens in there. And they're having to escape. And they get, like, clamped down and, like, steam. The only difference is there's no battle droid shooting at them. But it's almost the exact same scene in three different movies. Probably another one. I think that was, like, a trope going on, the conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt trope. Very well known.
I'm going to look at TV tropes right now and see if that's a thing.
I have to know, but which came first is my question. Like, who did it first? Like, we all know who wore it better.
Mm-hmm. But who did it first?
Star Wars, but who did it first?
Chicken Run is 2000, so that's...
Yeah, Chicken Run.
But I don't know about 102 Dalmatians. Puppies to the rescue.
I have no interest in those Dalmatian puppies. Muhaha.
Also 2000. Oh boy.
Wow. It's George. Because they added that whole sequence in like the middle, like right at the end of production of Attack of the Clones too. So maybe he saw 101 Dalmatians 2 in his free time and was like,
And Chicken Run.
I was like, what if we do the Star Wars version of Chicken Run at 101 Dalmatians 2? So
Chicken Run came out. 102 Dalmatians came out in November of that year. Chicken Run came out in June. And it probably took longer to make. So this is a Chicken Run original. But I think maybe like they progress. If they get more complex with each film. Because Chicken Run is just pretty basic. It's just two of them in there. But then 102 Dalmatians, that's when you have like some who are stuck in the conveyor belt line and some who aren't in the line to save the ones who are in the line. That's like the R2-D2 character.
Right.
I don't think Cruella de Vil is shooting at them, but they kind of have like where there's also a bad guy presently aware of the fact they're on the line. And then it just evolves further to what we see in Attack of the Clones.
Right.
And then that somehow makes it to quote you, your dad's lair.
My dad's lair. That does sound so weird.
Your dad's lair, where you see it, and it gets your whole interest in Star Wars starting. So really, you could put Chicken Run as the thing that kickstarted what drew you into this fandom.
That is amazing. This is the best thing I've ever learned, is that my love for Star Wars actually comes from Chicken Run.
Mm-hmm.
So happy.
Yeah, and you said you hadn't seen those movies since they were out in theaters, so maybe you saw Chicken Run in theaters, and you like implicitly knew this is the best part about Chicken Run when they're in the pot pie machine. And like that's why this is like Freudian analysis going on there. Like maybe you had a crush on like the because it was like the sexy American rooster. Like who didn't have a crush on the sexy American rooster? That dude was awesome. So maybe
that was my gay awakening. Was the rooster?
It was the rooster, and so the rooster was Chicken Run, and that just made it over. You know, you saw like him come out of that. Who was that rooster? Let's see, the Chicken Run rooster, Mel Gibson played the rooster in Chicken Run.
My gay awakening was Mel Gibson
as a chicken.
Oh my god. That is the worst gay awakening ever. I take it all back. Mel Gibson. These comparisons are wild, though.
I mean, I dare you to tell me they're wrong.
The way it's like Chicken Run and 101 Dalmatians 2 are synonymous with the prequel trilogy in the way that I maintain. I had a whole discussion. I have this whole thesis about how the Star Wars sequel trilogy and the High School Musical trilogy are basically the same thing.
I saw that. That's really good. Yeah. No. Why don't you go ahead and share that? I know it's not prequels, but it's a good observation. Yeah.
It's a good. Well, for the most basic one is that the first two movies are like fucking amazing, And then the third movie is like fine. So that's
great.
That's one way that is exactly like the sequel trilogy. But also, in the most important way, is their level of gayness, which is like, so in High School Musical, you have Ryan Evans, who is like the gayest, like flamboyantly, clearly gay.
Very obviously so.
Like, they don't even try to hide it. In the second movie, they're like, there's this whole homoerotic dance number, and he
the
like
baseball scene.
Yeah, and he like changes clothes to the other character, and at one point they're like, Sharpay, his sister's like, so who's like the primo hottie at East High? And he's like, oh, it's Troy Bolton. And he gets all like swoony, and it's like, okay. But then in the third movie, they went to the movie theaters and they were like, oh god, well, he can't be gay now, so we have to try and pair him up. And they paired him up with Kelsey and made it try to make him seem straight. Right. Well, in the Star Wars sequel trilogy, Poe Dameron, who is also very clearly not heterosexual, was then in the third movie, they attempted to no homo him by giving him like a female, like, I guess, ex-girlfriend that he kind of like
a crush on. Call a spade a spade.
And nobody... And it doesn't, like, nobody watched that movie and was like, oh, well, I guess I buy that he's straight now, because it was half-assed and terrible, and nobody, like, no, who walked out of that movie like, man, I'm so invested in Poe and Zori's relationship now? Like, that right. didn't, nobody walked out of the movie theater thinking that.
Well, it's a pity, because, like, Zori is a cool character, but she's undermined by the fact that she's this tool to try to push this totally inaccurate narrative that we're supposed to believe. And so it then, like, undermines what she could contribute as, like, a cool, like, drug-pushing lady.
Yeah, no, she's very cool, and Carrie Russell's the best. And she has that one scene on the balcony where her, like, performance is great with just her eyes. Like, she's awesome. Mm-hmm. She's a great actress, great character. But, yeah, so that is just one of the many reasons why the Star Wars sequel trilogy and the High School Musical trilogy are basically the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I can totally get behind it. The thing that could push it forward, and I haven't seen High School Musical 3 in a good long while, but it's on Disney Plus, so I may get around to it.
I just did my rewatch. You got to do yours. It's only
fair. Oh, there we go. Yeah, absolutely. do they sneak a lesbian kiss in the closing credits and then pat themselves on the back for it for representation? That would really make it like the sequel trilogy.
No, they don't. Unfortunately, it was a 2008 Disney Channel like spawned movie, so they did not have a lesbian kiss. That they wouldn't even do that.
Well, there we go. That shows how much Disney has grown over the past 11
years. Yeah, so much better.
So much better. You know, see, this is how it goes. It goes very obviously gay theater kid who are not going to make gay. Then gay marriage is legalized in the country. Sneaking a lesbian kiss at the end of the movie. Disney is following the times very well. You know, it much fits the overall trend.
Well, I tell you what, gay marriage was legalized the same year that The Force Awakens came out. We got introduced to gay icon Poe Dameron. So really, 2015 was like the year of the homosexual.
I got to look at other forms of mass media to see if this is this confirms. What else was big in 2015? Oh, Jurassic World. I don't think there was a gay guy in that.
I don't think there was a gay man, woman, child, or anything. I don't think there was
a dinosaur.
I don't. Well, the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park are gay.
Yes, they are. That's true. No, they're very much. Yeah.
I forgot about that until just now. So, wow, Steven Spielberg was like way ahead of his time with LGBT rap. He had lesbian dinosaurs in the 90s. In 1994.
You had transsexual dinosaurs, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's crazy.
Who didn't feel comfortable in their own skin.
That's true. No, and it was
somebody had to have, like, dived into this, right?
We
can't be the first to stumble on it.
There's no way. I mean, I feel like it's a discussion I've even had before, but I just forgot because I have terrible memory. Also, Laura Dern is, like, an honorary lesbian, I feel like, so...
Yeah, right.
The way that, like, John Mulaney is, like, an honorary gay. Like, Laura Dern is just, like, they're not gay, but they might as well be.
They might as well.
They might as well be. Or, like, how Oscar Isaac, like, is straight, but you've never met somebody who wants to be gay more in your entire life. Like, he wants to be gay so badly. And it's very odd.
He's, like, the guy who clearly tried it because he was hoping. And he's like, ah, damn it. It didn't work. And he feels, like, guilty about it, too. He like hoping for a spark, and he's like, ah, no, what's going on here? What's going on there is all over, you know, not talking the way I want it to.
Wow, that sucked. Am I homophobic because I didn't like that? I have to make up for this somehow.
I have to make up for it.
Being gay in Star Wars. Well, now he's doing a new movie that he's producing where there's like a gay subplot in the comic that it's based off of with his character. So maybe
he got his wish. Yeah. He needs to cast John Boyega in it and just give the people what they want.
Agreed. Absolutely. He was like, Star Wars isn't going to let me be gay. So fuck you. I'm going to sign up with DC and do it myself. And the movie. And now I've gone on to a tangent about Oscar Isaac, who's the love of my life, but it's tangentially Star Wars related, so I'm sticking with it.
Oh, no, yeah. You're welcome to go wherever.
So Oscar Isaac starred in a movie with Alicia Vikander and Domhnall Gleeson called Ex Machina.
Which was brilliant.
It's a great movie. It's this really wacky sci-fi movie. Well, the comic that this movie that he's producing and starring in is based off of is also called Ex Machina.
Yeah, when I saw the headline, I was really confused because it said like Oscar Isaac to star, direct an Ex Machina adaptation. It's like, isn't that what he was already in? What the?
Yeah.
And then I remembered that it was a comic. I'm like, oh, I hope they're changing the name of the movie. Which are they?
They are. I don't remember what they're changing it to, but they are changing the name. And I just love the idea that they were like, oh, we want to do this Ex Machina adaptation, but we're gonna have to change the name so people don't get confused about. With it in the movie starring Oscar Isaac. And they're like, well, who do you want to star in this movie? And they're like, Oscar Isaac. Like, just, it's beautiful.
Hollywood's celebration of Oscar Isaac is a wonderful thing.
Oscar Isaac is the perfect human specimen. He's like, if God had to sit there and like try to construct the perfect like jawline, that is what the result would be.
What's great is that he's not intimidating. You know, there's some people who are just too beautiful, but then you just feel like they're not approachable.
Yeah, but he's like 5 feet tall, so it kind of like takes away the intimidation factor.
Oscar, you're so handsome looking down.
Basically. That's the thing, too. Here's the weird thing about Oscar Isaac, like, fans. The difference between Oscar Isaac stans and, like, other people who are fans of celebrities is that we just, like, mercilessly make fun of him. I don't know why that's a thing, but if you go onto like Oscar Isaac Stan Twitter, it's just people making fun of him and calling him a short, stupid old man. I don't think he calls himself a stupid old man.
Yeah, probably not that one. Well, it's just like I get the kick out of Adam Driver stans. Like, isn't he so ugly? That's what makes him beautiful. Like, that's what people legitimately say. Like, that's the weirdest thing I've heard you say about someone you like. Also, he's not ugly. He's tall. He has a full head of hair. Got a deep voice. I think he's handsome.
I wouldn't call anyone ugly, but Adam Driver does not
fit your bill.
Does not do it for me.
All right, that's good.
It's not. I don't get it. Maybe that's why I'm missing out on the whole like sequel trilogy thing with like people love Kylo Ren as a character, and I'm just like, maybe it's just I don't find him attractive. But I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, Anakin's better. The prequels are better. This is a prequel supremacy podcast, so I have to say that.
Prequels are great. I don't know why they were never nominated for an Oscar, you know.
They got a few nominations, didn't they?
Yeah, they got visual effects and...
Which,
yeah, The Phantom Menace did stuff that was so new for its time, but they were up the same year as The Matrix, so...
Yeah, it does not... Some of that stuff doesn't hold up well.
No, not at all.
But you have to admire them for pushing technology forward. I mean, even with Jar Jar, the motion capture technology that they were developing, like, on set while they were filming was so quintessential to all of the motion capture performances that we've had since.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There would have been no Andy Serkis.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have missed out on Supreme Leader Snoke. And boy, would have that been a big loss. People be mourning that for generations.
Yeah. Well, noting the time, I just want to close out with some rapid-fire questions.
Let's do it.
So, get ready. Some of these I've given to people before. Some will be brand new, so we'll see. Okay. Which prequels character would you take to the prom?
Jar Jar for kicks.
All right. Give me interesting photo op. Gotta get the angle right. Which prequels character would you want to have as a stepdad?
God, as a stepdad? All the father figures in the prequels are fucking terrible. Obi-Wan, I guess.
Obi-Wan, okay. Okay, good one, good one. All right, which two prequels characters that are not presently a famous ship would you ship?
Obi-Wan and Padme? Yeah, I feel pretty good about Obi-Wan and Padme. Did I just say a heterosexual ship? I did. I shouldn't have, but it's too late. It's fine.
It's too late. It's written in podcast stone.
Yeah.
All right, if you could sit down for coffee with one prequels character, but then you have to kill them afterwards, who would it be?
I have to have coffee. I have to sit through coffee with them, and then I have to kill them.
And you're going to successfully kill them. You know, they don't have – their defenses are down. You got this. You don't have to worry like, oh, I couldn't be able to take down so-and-so.
Why don't we just say Yarl Poof, because it would be a fun, funny coffee conversation, and then nobody would mourn his passing.
No one mourned his passing. I get that, yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah, timeline's important, too. Like, is this abstract, or are you totally redefining, like, the narrative of Star Wars?
And I don't want to do that. The narrative of Star Wars is obviously perfect, and no mistakes were made along the way, so I wouldn't want to.
All Yarl Poof. I'm curious, how would you do it? How would you take him out?
In the ballroom with the candlestick, I think.
Well, it'd be hard to get a headshot because it's way up there.
Well, I would just, I would take him in the knee.
Oh, yeah.
And I would take out his knees, and then he would fall. And then it would, his head would be at, like, I could reach it. And then maybe his neck. And then it would fall over, and then maybe his head.
It wouldn't be too hard to strangle him. That neck's pretty skinny. You could probably do it with one hand.
Yeah, probably. Thank you for that.
I don't know why I made him, like, choking out a turkey, but...
No, that's exactly... A choking turkey is exactly what I would imagine that he would sound like when he was, if he was being choked to death. That's exactly what I imagine.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's perfect. And finally, the last question. If you could take one prequels character and put them in one non-Star Wars movie, what would it be?
I would put Jar Jar Binks in Sophie's Choice.
Oh, no.
Just to see what would happen.
So you're not replacing him with any character. You're just putting him in that scenario.
Yeah, just putting him in that scenario.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, when you watch Attack of the Clones, there's a point where, like, Anakin is talking to Jar Jar unprompted, like, sharing his emotional feelings about Padme with him. Like, oh, it's so hard talking to her. It's been so long. I feel torturous. And, like, what is it about, like, they haven't seen each other in years. Why does Anakin feel like he can have this relationship with Jar Jar to spill out his facts? So that may be, like, useful in Sophie's Choice. You know, Jar Jar may be a good listener in that film, and he could say, Weesa gotta do things.
Yeah, he can tell her which child to say.
Oh, boy, that'd be something. Oh, well, my God. Chris, thanks for joining the show. We gotta have you on again sometime.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I would love that.
Yeah, do you want to drop your social media follows?
Sure. I hate social media and Star Wars fans, so you cannot have my social media, but you can email me at eatmyass@starwarssucks.com if you would like.
All right. Do you own that domain name?
I do. That is my email address that I use for professional purposes, too.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely lovely. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you again, Chris, for joining us, and we'll see you next time around the corner. Whatever catchphrase I close out with, I've been working on it.
Bye. Love to you all.
All right. Cheers.
Sam and Tima.